Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to bring to the air what you were just doing in break.
Yeah, right.
The TMZ article.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant something else.
No, we're talking about the TMZ. Yeah. I don't know what else you're talking about.
My bad. This is just in from TMZ Sports. 2 field level seats behind the dugout for game 1 of the World Series. They just sold for over $12,000 each, TMZ Sports has learned.
So if you want to take a buddy to a game, you 24 G's to sit in a good seat. The get-in price for this World Series is like
$1,300. Gosh.
The get-in price is like $1,300. And that's like an upper deck seat in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, that's just to get in the door.
I would just do what those kids did from Angels in the Outfield and climb up the tree with binoculars and just watch.
Remember the kids that, like, used to watch through the fence back in the 19-teens?
Yeah. Peeping Toms.
Yeah. So you could do that. But, I mean, that's expensive, right?
You've
that's
priced
capitalism.
Out normal fans. Yeah.
But that's the secondary market.
Do you think an athlete paid for that, or do you think, like, a celebrity paid for that? Because there's going to be a guru of celebrities out there tonight.
Who do you think is the most famous person we
Larry
see?
David.
Okay.
I think people underestimate how famous Larry David is.
I know, but as I said that, I'm like, well, who you decide is famous is maybe not famous to me, or vice versa, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
It'll be interesting to see the stars in both games or both stadiums, because, like, New York, obviously you'll have all the New York hype.
But I think there'll be more like famous people in LA than there will be
sure.
in New York, right?
Do the Lakers play tonight?
Oh, have you not seen what's going on in LA tonight? Have you guys not seen this on Twitter?
What's the schedule?
This graphic on Twitter.
This is like a Jay Leno intro. You see this? You see this guy?
Hey guys, you see this one? So going on in LA tonight, and remember, the Dodger game starts at 5:00, which is rush hour. So you've got the Dodger game going on tonight. Dodger-Yankee World Series game at Dodger Stadium. Down the road, you've got the Laker game at the Crypto.com Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Straight south of there, USC plays a football game tonight at the Coliseum. There's a concert tonight at the Intuit Dome where the Clippers play.
Clippers
and in that same parking lot at SoFi Stadium, there's a big high school football game tonight. So all of that is going on, plus rush hour. Nobody's going anywhere. Like, nobody's going to be at these events because nobody's going to be able to get to these events unless you left now. I mean, and I'm being serious about that. Like, you got to leave now if you want to get to that game. So
it's 7:00?
Yeah. No, 5:00 LA time is the first pitch. I don't know. The football game probably
right
starts
now,
at 7.
7, right?
Oh, 7 a.m. Yeah. I mean, why not? Just make sure you're safe.
Going. Like,
do you realize how much anxiety I would have if I was going to one of those games tonight?
I've already got it here.
And I would be like, you know what? I'm just not going. I'm just staying at home. This sucks, you know, with all the traffic and whatnot. So
$2,000 for parking, I see.
I've seen that too. Like, isn't that insane? People are paying $2,000 to park at the World Series.
Jeez. Famous Dodger fans, Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Sam Jackson, Kanye West, he won't be there.
No.
David Beckham. Let's see, who else? Katie Walsh.
So at Dodger Stadium, I guess they do this thing where Vince Scully used to say, it's time for Dodger baseball, right? And everybody, do you know who's saying that tonight at Dodger Stadium?
Who?
AI Vince Scully?
No, I wish. God. That would be great. No. I just got goosebumps when you said that. That would be cool.
Jessica Alba, Kendrick Lamar.
Brian Cranston is the guy.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
So he may end up being the most famous guy out there.
Mm.
Does anybody not like Brian Cranston?
Seriously.
Tuco.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
His brother-in-law.
His gag smells like head cheese, bro.
Approval rating is through the roof for
Brian. Brian Cranston's like universally loved by everybody, isn't he?
Yeah, no one considers him a Richard.
No, not at all.
Who is Charlotte McKinney?
I don't know.
Holy Lord.
Good looking?
Yo, yeah. You want to see?
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Who's the guy with her?
That would be the late Gary Marshall.
Oh.
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen, John Legend.
Oh, wow.
Chance Crawford, Fergie and Josh Duhamel.
Do you think LeBron goes to the World Series, or do you think he plays for the Lakers tonight?
Come on now. He'll play for the Lakers. Charlie Sheen?
You know he's going to be there game 2, though, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get into the Richard of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
You remember for After Hours, we carried it over here to Fesco and Dusty. It is Richard of the Week. Not sponsored yet, but could be. Somebody could step up. Talking to you, Dick Ray, would be a great idea. Or Dick Sporting Goods. You get it. My Richard of the Week, it's a sore subject, but it merits Richard of the Week.
Disturbing allegations of sexual assault abuse against its former CEO.
The investigation, several men, some of them named and on camera, accused Mike Jeffries of exploiting them for sex. Jeffries was CEO from 1992 to 2014 during the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's popularity. In a statement to NBC News, a company spokesperson says it is, quote, appalled by the allegations. Jeffries' attorney declined to comment to NBC.
And it alleges that 12 men are saying that they were involved in or had to help organize sex parties for the former CEO, Mike Jeffries, and his partner, Matthew Smith. Now, some of them saying that they were exploited, that they didn't participate willingly. Some of these men even alleging abuse. And so obviously very serious allegations. They said that these parties happened all over the world in big major cities over a time period between 2009 and 2015. Now, you mentioned that Jeffries' attorney declined to comment on his client's behalf, and he also made a note saying that it's his client's practice not to comment on matters around his personal life. Now, there's also allegations in this report saying that the company paid settlements for Jeffries after allegations of misconduct.
This guy sucks.
Oh, my God.
This guy should burn.
Jeez.
Abercrombie and Fitch will be no more because this guy is a weirdo. You look at his picture.
Is he still the CEO?
Probably not anymore. But it's even worse. I went down a Reddit loophole when I read this story a couple days ago. Just disgusting people in this world. That's a Richard. That's why you hear me every single day on the show go do nice things for people, because there are weirdos and sickos like this in this world. I mean, come on, man. You're taking people out to parties, apparently scalping at stores for guys. There were some stores where they'd make guys be shirtless out front. We should have seen this coming. This guy sucks. He's my Richard of the Week. So, I hope you have a terrible life, but also be nice to people out there.
That guy does suck. My Richard of the Week is going to go to this gentleman.
Oh, no. As usual, the Kansas City Chiefs did the bare minimum.
No, I'm not.
I didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was still in the league. He only, 40? He's not even a starter anymore. He gets like 40% of the snaps. Really? That's who you go get.
This is a guy on national radio by the name of Rob Parker. Clearly an uneducated take about what the Chiefs did with DeAndre Hopkins, and had no idea that DeAndre Hopkins was a starter in Tennessee, but had Will Levis as his quarterback. I mean, it was the most low-hanging fruit topic of all time that I've ever heard, that if you're on national radio, you can just get on there and scream ignorance like Rob Parker did. It is the second worst take of all time. We talked about the worst one. You have somebody complaining or saying that Deshaun Watson still should have been the pick over Patrick Mahomes in 2023. But that right there by Rob Parker, that's takes like that are why people sometimes have bad impressions of sports talk radio, because it's uneducated and it's wrong. And there's nothing else I can say about that.
Had about 1,100 yards last year with Malik Willis, Ryan Tannehill, and Will Levis. Yeah, so, he's obviously there. Washed.
Yeah,
cooked.
He's done.
Yeah, he's done.
Uh-huh.
I'll stick with...
That's why I say sometimes I wonder, these people watch the games on Sunday. What do you think Rob Parker's doing? Playing golf? Or is he watching the games, or is he just reading a box score?
Not watching.
Yeah, absolutely not watching.
God.
We've listened to some bad Chiefs takes. This is another one from Cam Stewart. I truncated it. He said a lot about, the Raiders' history and all these things, but he said something about Mahomes that caught my eyes. This is why he's my Richard of the Week.
The Raiders always play these guys tough. I don't give up. And when I see Patrick Mahomes doing his little stupid dance around the sideline, I want somebody to put him on his ass, and I want him to stay down.
Now, I know they probably didn't mean any thing malicious by that, but I don't know. You're Richard.
No,
You got me fired up.
Mike Florio became a public enemy in Kansas City because he said they should hurt Patrick Mahomes in that
Super
Bowl.
That's what this guy's insinuating.
That's what this guy's insinuating as well. It's gotten to the point where nobody has an answer anymore, so they say go out and hurt the quarterback. And you suck.
No, you're terrible.
Of that.
Trash.
You do. It's an awful, 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 awful take. And it's really just pathetic that somebody has to go to that route to try to say, there's nothing we can do, so let's go out there and try to injure the quarterback. I just find it to be just wrong. I find it to be insensitive, inhumane. And Patrick Mahomes is a big reason why the NFL is popular these days. and you want to go out there and hurt the face of the league? What are you, some kind of ass?
No, you're disgusting. And it goes in your line.
Not an ass, a Richard.
Yeah, absolutely, you're Richard. And it goes in your line, Bob, where you talk about, you know, everyone wants a participation, everyone thinks they can just win. You know, you can't win against Mahomes, and now you're so sad that you got to hurt him. That's your solution.
It's
not trying harder,
take.
Not figuring out your way to beat him. It's just to hurt him. Absolutely, yeah. Richard. Screw you, Cam Stewart.
That is Richard of the Week. This is Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up, it's daytime, but we get to bink at night at the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Jay Binkley.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports, your home for the roundtable. This week's guest is Jay Binkley.
What's up, Dust Man?
Oh, it always happens. We never.
There we go. Guess where the Fans football show's going next Friday, buddy?
Where is that?
Oh, I think you live there.
Blue Springs?
Lee Summit,
Friday
baby.
Night?
Chipman Road, Friday night next Friday.
I'll be there. Where
the
are you going to be this Friday?
Stringlung Road out in Olathe.
Oh, Olathe this weekend.
We're
very
doing
nice.
Olathe.
Yeah, all right.
We're going to St. Joe in a couple weeks.
You are?
Buffalo Wild Wings, St. Joe.
Damn. You know? Wow, that's going to be great.
We call it the Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour.
Yeah. Okay.
We've done both the Metcalf ones, man. It was fun.
Yeah, you're hitting all of them. Yeah.
This is the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
It's not round.
No, it's an oblong shape, though.
I know how you love stats. I don't know if you were listening to the show when Mitch was on earlier.
Yeah, you want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's Mitch's stat.
Here's your stat of the morning. I couldn't believe this. I had to go back and look at this. I saw it, and I go, nah, that can't be right. There have been eight teams since 2001 that have been 6-0 and have had 10 or more giveaways. That's the Chiefs, right? We're sitting at 10 giveaways, and we're 6-0. But seven other teams have done it since 2001. How many of those seven have made the Super Bowl?
All of them.
Every one of them.
Mitch's stats are the best. I love going back and forth with this. Here's one point. 2018, DeAndre Hopkins had 0 drops. Here's another one for you. And I'll credit Matt McMullen for this one.
2018 is like a generation ago.
Do you realize that DeAndre Hopkins, 69.1% of his catches have either been a first down or a touchdown?
69?
That's got it right at 70%.
No, it's 69.1.
Which, to be honest, I heard you guys earlier, 69, Jared Allen would be my jersey,
perfect,
by the way.
Oh, it would be?
You guys were asking what signifies.
How many times have you worn the jersey 69?
I never have, actually.
Oh, you have?
I tried for it, though, man.
What number did you wear?
I was settled with 64. I tried to get 69.
I'm
we already
sure
had a 69.
Yeah. When I saw that license plate yesterday that said Binks on it, I figured that was your car driving around. It was. So you didn't wear a Binks 69 or anything?
It didn't have a license plate holder that says I honk for Hooters.
Yeah. Oh. But you're going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, I'm not talking about the restaurant.
Oh okay. Leg piece?
When I was a kid, I played for the Blue Springs Bears. I was in, I was in third grade. We had to pick our numbers, and I said in front of everybody, I said, true story. I stood up, and I said, they go, Dusty Likens, what number do you want? I said, my mom's favorite number, 69.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a true story.
That would be the
best.
Did
you have any idea?
No. Come on, you think?
No.
She went to the car and even like she just was waiting in the car for me, and that's when I got the sex talk.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Did right everybody then, laugh, or did the coaches just kind of turn away?
The coach, where's his mom?
Yeah, hello. She's single.
Right.
So anyway, football.
Football.
You like it, right?
I do.
Yeah, football. You sent me a text the other day. I like football and beer.
Yeah, I just ordered a shirt that says it's coming in Sunday. It says I like beer and maybe three people.
Yeah, it's true. Am I one of those three?
Yeah, you guys are. Yeah.
All right, good.
You guys take two of the three, and mom's the other one.
So let's look at whose mom? Oh, your
mine.
Mom.
Stacy's.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm in that age range now where I like the moms.
Yeah, I do too. Who doesn't?
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you got to take your daughter to those concerts with the. You know, that's what I used to do my kid was little. Like, you take all the MILF. Like, took her to Hannah Montana one time. It was like everywhere, man. It was like, I didn't want to go to it, but then I was there, and I was like, look to the left of me, look to the right of me. It's like, oh, my God.
It's
I
off
have
the
died
effing
and gone
rails.
To heaven.
We've been Big Leader for 3 minutes. It's gone. Took your daughter to concert. You see all the MILFs.
Oh, Dusty, you're dirty, too.
Oh, of course.
You're the dirty werewolf.
That's right.
Always will be.
No, I love that.
I just can't catch my breath.
Oh, I mean, it's not a bad thing. Your daughter wants to go to this, you know, teeny bopper concerts. Okay, I'll right. take him.
You take him down to the concert,
yeah,
right?
A lot of milk.
So football. Yep.
Your mom here, kid?
Yeah. Hey, go get your mom. See the convertible all tanned? It's like the Shawnee Mission Northwest Cougars down here. They changed their mascot to a middle-aged woman.
Is that a soft top or a hard top? You want it to be a hard one? I got you. Jay like Binkley.
The, like the cougar is no longer a cat.
Anyways, Chiefs Raiders this week.
Yeah,
Chiefs,
how about the ball? Yeah.
Moist.
No doubt about it. Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. You yeah. like that, or are you going under that?
I like that a lot. I like the fact that Chiefs, they've always won. Detroit has one loss. Everybody else has two. Chiefs have none, but everyone's criticized them. I love the Chiefs. And you know what? I
do like is Jimmy Fallon on SNL right now.
I know. He really is. Yeah.
What's funny is Brock Bowers. I mean, remember this guy, yeah. how much we liked him during the draft, yep. Bobby? He's the only guy that reminded me of Kelsey, but that guy's killing it.
Yeah.
Like Brock Bowers and Max Crosby, that's the two guys to worry about. And Bowers, because the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends.
You know, it was funny when we were at the draft party at the Landing, which, by the way, on the 9th of November, the Ben Maller meet and greet at the Landing. I get the Ben Maller chicken tenders. And we were at that party at the Landing. I was watching it with Tammy from the West and son-in-law, who's a Raider fan. And when Michael Penix went to Atlanta, he was like, oh, that was supposed to be our guy. Think about the course of history if Penix is playing quarterback for the Raiders right now, because that's what it should have been. Atlanta swooped in and got him. And then they got Brock Bowers. I think that's going to be a pretty good pick. But they don't have anybody to give him the football, man. You know?
Yeah, but he's already getting up there. I mean, he's going to set the record for tight end rookie catches. The funny thing is, I was just talking to Drew about Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
shocker.
Like,
shocker, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's talk Michael Penix.
You and Drew talking shocker.
Yeah. No, but think about this, though. We talked about this quarterback class and how bad it is coming out. Right. And 2026 is even worse. I mean, that's when you got Nico and Avery Johnson. I mean, there's no top quarterbacks. But the thing is, maybe, and I'd probably give Atlanta too much credit, but if they're thinking this, it's smart. If they're going, you know what, there's no quarterbacks this following year. We got Michael Penix right here. We might as well take him and put him behind Kirk Cousins to groom him, because there is nobody next year. Now, I don't know if they were thinking that far ahead, but if they were, it's genius.
It's a Brett Veach type of thought process. It is. It really is.
Because we got nobody next year and the year after, and we expect to be better and not have a low draft pick. We got Penix sitting there. Let's take him.
Let's keep the narrative of this roundtable going. They're grooming the Penix in Atlanta.
That's right.
So I want to bring this up because I think this is interesting with DeAndre Hopkins. I saw how hungry Kareem Hunt was when he got his second chance here. DeAndre Hopkins mentioned yesterday in his press conference that he's, you know, ready to play, you know, meaningful football. You see kind of an easier way into this game, or is it just like, hey, man, you know how it works, Andy Reid. You find that the ball finds you almost immediately.
I could see him and Mahomes, you know, late night chatting or Zooming or even hanging out talking. All right, what are we going to do? Here's what we do. He's played 12 years. He even said yes. He goes, I know ball, man. I've been around this for a long time. I think he's going to be hungry. And I think they'll ease him in a little bit, because he didn't play a bunch of he's like 45-50% of the snaps sometimes in Tennessee. I think they'll ease him into it. But it's like, can you get this guy ready for the postseason? Because I brought that up when I was with you guys Wednesday. Like, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
That year they won the Super Bowl in 19. And they won in 20, but 19. He averaged almost 100 yards a game in those postseason games. I mean, that's really, honestly, where you need him. I think they'll use him a lot more before that. But that's really the DeAndre Hopkins time. And not only that, he's looking for legacy, too. I mean, he's got everything. I mean, the guy's got over 12,000 yards. The guy's, 75 catches short of 1,000. Those are like Andre Johnson type numbers. He has 9 more touchdowns than Andre Johnson, who's in the Hall of Fame. I'm saying, you know, you get that ring, you start cementing things with that, but he's going to be extremely hungry. But he knows the route tree. I mean, it's the complex, it's the language they're going to have to use to get him on page, but he'll be fine.
See, I look at you and think, when you talk about DeAndre Hopkins and whatnot, like, I think this is going to be big for him, and I think they are going to utilize him the right way. I don't think there's going to be much easing in for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, your definition of easing in may be 5 catches. My definition would be like 1 catch would be easing him in. Like, I think he's going to have somewhere between 4 and 6 catches for 75 yards, and I do think he scores a red zone touchdown for the Chiefs this week. I think
it's clutch, man. Just like I told you that Matt stuff. I mean, it's almost 70% of his catches are first down or touchdown. That's somebody's clutch.
No.
I mean, that's the definition
is.
Of clutch.
And so I do believe that he's going to get the opportunity to be utilized a lot. And I can tell you just from talking to folks out there this week, it's just like how excited they are to have him, how excited he is to be here, and how he's already elevating that wide receiver room. He's gonna be the guy that Patrick Mahomes really hasn't had since Tyreek Hill. And you brought up Sammy Watkins as well. That was my first initial take. Like, I'm a Sammy Watkins truther. I love Sammy Watkins. Nobody can tell me otherwise, whether that's a bad take or not. But that guy filled a major role for this organization. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be that type of guy, maybe better than what Sammy was.
I think it's a more polished version of Rashee Rice.
Yeah,
they're getting to. I mean, that would be great if they were together. But the stuff that how Rice was starting to develop and what he was doing in this offense and creating those mismatches, I could see Hopkins doing a lot of that as well. Maybe spread it out. We got, you know, Xavier Worthy still running down the field, open right up the middle more for Kelsey and guys like DeAndre Hopkins. But there's nothing better than actually being able to catch it, move a first down before Matt Araiza has to come in and punt it again.
Right.
That's the most frustrating thing in the world, these interceptions that are bouncing off hands. I mean, that was a 13-point swing. I know Juju had a good game.
Right.
But they didn't exactly cover him either. He was wide open in that game. But San Francisco would have covered him a lot more. But, you know, that ball bouncing off his hands and going in Colin Saunders' hands. Mm-hmm. They scored a touchdown, missed the extra point. But that was a 13-point swing. I mean, that stuff starts to add up, man.
And how much more relaxed is Patrick going to be, too? Because he knows he now has two guys that he can legitimately rely on to catch the football.
He's got number one and number two active streaks catching the football right now on his team. That is insane that he is 168 for Hopkins, 164 straight games for Kelsey. Kelsey had a stretch of 117 straight games with three catches. That ended this year when he just got that one. DeAndre Hopkins has a catch in every single pro football game he's ever played. I mean, when you're sitting there with one and two in that chart, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, that's wild. My gosh. Yeah, when you think about how good this team just became on paper. Now, you got to go out there and obviously do it. But, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins had a knee injury like Devontae Adams had a hamstring injury. It wasn't those things that were bothering them. They had a quarterback injury. They didn't have anybody getting them the football, and that's why their numbers are down, and that's why people go, oh, look at the numbers of DeAndre Hopkins, like that Rob Parker.
Yeah. Compared him to the Jets. He was talking about the Jets. Really? Yeah. The Chiefs are, you know, shopping cheap and stuff. Huh?
Yeah, the Chiefs are not shopping cheap at all. They're out there going out and making their roster better. But the reason why the numbers were down for those two guys is because they didn't have quarterbacks to give them football. Now you're all of a sudden in an offense with Patrick Mahomes. His numbers are going to be good.
It's like just the flip passes and thing. He's always thinking outside the box and what he's doing. To be honest with you, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but last year I thought was Andy Reid's best coaching job because of the talent, the wide receiver. When they get to the postseason, they played number one, three, and four scoring defenses in the NFL on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the most impressive things. Even though the offense got a lot of crap last year, they went on the road in the playoffs and beat 1, 3, and 4. The reason they didn't beat two is it was themselves. But this year's, I think, his best coaching job. When you go to training camp thinking you're going to have this wide-open, spread-out offense with Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and you're going to have Rashee Rice on your team, and all of a sudden the reality hits you and you don't have any of them, you have to shift to what you're doing, and you're doing four tight end sets and the 14 personnel and everything they're doing. Like, Andy Reid has adjusted. I mean, what he's doing with this offense, I think this is Andy Reid's best year coaching.
It's bizarre to think that Andy Reid is getting better at coaching when he's been so great at coaching. And other coaches should look at Andy Reid and go, okay, how do you do this, right? Because Andy Reid is a master. And I know you'll tell me about Chris Ault to the day you die.
Yeah, pistol offense.
But when Andy Reid brought him in, because that's what Alex Smith was comfortable in, and Andy wasn't real comfortable with it, so he hired the father of the pistol offense to come in here for a couple years and help him out. Like, Andy Reid has shown you can teach an old dog new tricks, and every other coach should learn from Andy Reid because he coaches to his talent. He doesn't make his players adjust to his style.
Yeah, he's a big fan of college football game and the intricacies that go into that. And the Chris Ault thing, the pistol, there's only two guys that got anything out of Alex Smith. It was Urban Meyer at Utah, and it was Jim Harbaugh when he was there. The only two guys that had that manual. And then Andy Reid, of course, had that same manual. But he brought Chris Ault in here just to be a consultant because I want to learn about this. I think Alex can do good in this pistol. I want the guy that is responsible for this offense in college football. And then the next year it was just exclusive. Like, he could consult with anybody that one year. Then it was just exclusive with the Chiefs, which I think was interesting. But Brett Veach even said on McAfee, was it last year right after the Super Bowl, about how much film Andy Reid watches in the college game. Like, how interested he is in seeing what they're doing. And they're obviously watching what he's doing because you see a ton of goal line, you know, underhand passes to the tight end in college football now. You see a lot of Chiefs offense in college football.
You know what DeAndre Hopkins' last playoff game was?
KC.
That's right. that big blow up game against Houston Texans.
He had nine for 118. 69 yards in that game?
No, he had 9 for 118.
118, I think.
Yeah, get that number out of your mind.
Sorry, Dustman.
He had a 64.3% catch percentage.
That's close.
Yeah. I think he's going to be big this week. I think he was picked up in the right time, Raider week, you know, the circle in the stadium, the Muppet, everything like that. I think this, I don't know. Mitch doesn't think it's going to be a blowout. He says these guys play him tough, which it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I know that Mahomes never lost in Vegas. His record against the AFC West is outstanding. Raiders have only beat him here twice last year on Christmas Day. I think he's still got some sour, you know, taste in his mouth from that game.
Sure. Chiefs won 9 the last 11 games, 18 the last 22 against the Raiders.
Right.
That was really bizarre, that puppet thing. The guy that did that, that's the biggest shock.
Is he still
shock.
On the team?
He is. His name's Trey Taylor. He was the funny thing about him is he's actually a really good dude. I mean, he graduated.
He's like a Naval Academy guy.
He's an Air Force Academy guy. He's going to be a pilot.
Oh, nice.
But he has that loophole where you go straight to the NFL. The new rule is you have to do 2 years of military service, then go play pro. But he was grandfathered in where he can go play pro football, then do his years of active duty later. But a highly thought of guy. I mean, that was just very surprising for him because he did graduate from Air Force Academy and will be a pilot.
Right. But somebody, I mean, it was so like done by the crowd more than it was done by the player, but that doesn't matter. We can't let the facts get in the way of a great story.
It's just the adrenaline and everything.
Gave it to him and everybody look, okay, now you're mocking Patrick Mahomes. But that's the thing with Patrick Mahomes. Like, you do anything like that appears to be mocking, he is going to use that to his advantage and use that to rub it in your face when the game comes.
All he needs to do is turn on Twitter. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Like this anti-Mahomes stuff. And I mean, it's everywhere. This guy's one of the best in the game dealing with all this crap.
Why
do
you think that is?
Everybody's jealous of every little thing he does. I mean, they want to bring up the sideline run that he had, but they don't want to talk about him getting jabbed in the throat.
What was wrong with the sideline run? What am I missing with that?
Well, he did it within the rules, and San Francisco had plenty of opportunities to shove him out of bounds. They had plenty of opportunities to do that.
Apparently, you can't do that in the NFL.
No, they're saying that he got too close out of bounds and faked going out of bounds. They're calling it a rope-a-dope. They're calling it a loophole against the rules.
Like, I don't think he really faked it. This isn't like Kenny Pickett.
I've never heard that rule before. Remember the Breland Speaks play with Tom Brady when they were like, he thought he was like forward, or like he was down, and then Breland Speaks let him go and he got a touchdown?
Right.
Same concept.
Well, Kenny Pickett. You can't assume, because you know what happens when you assume.
As out of you and me.
Right.
Kenny Pickett did it in college. It's called the Kenny Pickett rule, where he fake slid, and completely then he stood up and kept running. Completely different. But he was sitting there doing the fake, you know, toss,
he's
and the fake lateral
guys,
with everything.
Like, that's your fault for falling for it.
I have seen plenty of times where he's been shoved out of bounds, and it's been late, and they haven't called it.
Well, we saw a throat punch, too. Yeah, oh, my God.
Not a punch. It was like the Undertaker choke slamming him. Yeah.
But I can't believe people, like, I totally missed that conversation this week because it's stupid.
Oh, all my friends are like, it's not really that impressive of a play. Loopholes.
Officiating sucks, man.
No, it's serious, dude. Yeah,
just watch that Rams game last night. Rams-Vikings game.
How about that? Right? No, the officiating doesn't suck. They're doing what they want. Who needs? They need L.A. to be good, Jay.
If that would have happened to the Chiefs.
Oh, God.
Break.
Did you spit your chew out last night when you saw that no call?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a kind of type.
Do you and your mom share the same can of dip?
No. My mom doesn't dip anymore. She uses Red Man on the side, a pouch. Mixes it with bubblegum like Brett.
Yeah. Is it Levi Garrett?
Levi Garrett.
That's another one, that Applejack flavored one.
I once chewed Kodiak.
I'm still going back to this. People are like, oh, God, people need lives, man. Like, seriously.
No, they really thought that. Like, I'm dead soon. I remember this suit. I think it was actually Sunday night when that came out, where they're like, this play is...
Who's leading that parade? Is that a Florio topic?
I mean, it is getting out of control when they bring this stuff up, but they're not bringing up that he's been in the AFC title game every year as a starter, which I will contend he would be 7 straight had they put him in halftime in that Tennessee game that they barely lost the playoffs. But here's the one thing about Mahomes that's never mentioned. He's got 15 postseason wins. The all-time leader in postseason wins is Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes. Joe Montana's got 16 postseason wins. Patrick Mahomes has 15. He'll easily probably pass him even this year.
Right.
And then he's number 2 all-time before he's even 30 years old. That's the only thing that matters.
How many does Tom have? 30 or
35.
Something?
35.
Okay.
But in Belichick has 31 postseason wins. Andy Reid has 26.
Right.
I mean, that Andy Reid is very close to him. But the bottom line is, after this year, he could be just looking. The number 15 should be talked about more than anything, the 15 postseason wins, because that's all that matters.
Well, he's 15-3 in the playoffs.
15-3. It's insane.
It's remarkably unbelievable. I mean, he probably has the best playoff winning percentage of anybody, right? Because he's only lost those three games. But, like, you know, he just
continues
He continues to do things each week that just dazzle you. Like just like when you think you've seen it all, he has that 33-yard run, or he beats up Mustafa in the end zone. Like, I can't wait to see what he does this weekend, because I know this has been a circle game for them since the schedule came out.
What's on your TV tonight? Yankees, Dodgers, Boise State, UNLV.
Ooh.
UNLV Boise State will start about at the sixth inning, 9:30 game.
9:15 game, but I'll get home probably about 8:30 or something from the show. So UNLV, Boise State. I want to see Austin Genty run. But I'll be watching the World Series, too. It's kind of funny how the
Dodgers, Yankees.
Heisman favorite, Bob.
I'm going to go Dodgers in this series, but I understand why they delayed it, because if games would have gone to Game 7. But
yeah, seriously, no, it's the networks, yeah.
But that's out of sight, out of mind, man. When you go that long, it's like, I had to remind people, hey, the World Series is tonight. Oh, I thought that, you know.
The most-watched World Series was 1978. 44.8 million people on average watched each game of that World Series. Do you think we get 15 million watching this one?
There were seven channels back then.
Right. Four, yeah. Right?
One of them had Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters.
They're still on
somewhere. That was the Yankees in 78, wasn't it?
It was Yankees Dodgers, 78. How many millions, what kind of number? Do you think we get close to 20 million people on average watching this World Series or not?
Yeah, considering it's L.A. and New York, and L.A. has a terrible cable deal where they can't watch their team. Now they can, because it'll be over there. I don't know, man. They're not the best markets for sports, believe it or not. I mean, Kansas City, Cincinnati, all those areas watch sports in a more of a clip. Will the rest of the country care?
Yeah.
I know that New York and L.A. will probably care. I think 15, 16 million.
Yeah, that seems about a good number. Yeah, but just think about that. 78, 44 million people again, because there were like six channels to watch, you know?
And tomorrow's going to be dominated with college football on Saturday, because five games versus ranked teams.
Of college football. Man.
Colorado going to be okay against Cincinnati?
How many shirts?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I like what Colorado's doing this year a ton. And I think
Cincinnati's good.
Yeah, they're 5-2. It's a good football team. But man, Colorado, man, their defense is shocking everybody. Arizona learned the hard way on that this weekend. That is a much different team this year.
One more win, they're bowl eligible.
Right,
no Brady Cook in Tuscaloosa. Big trouble.
It is tough.
Take Alabama all the way.
And Noel, the running back. Alabama's look.
Sounds like a slaughter.
This was the year to beat Alabama, too.
This was the
Vanderbilt
year.
Vanderbilt did it. Alabama looked like crap last week.
Simpsons did it.
Jalen Milroe has not played like you thought he would. Kalen DeBoer, they're starting to yell about him in Alabama,
the fan bases,
because if you don't win, you suck.
Tennessee Mack still thinks his team can win the Natty.
Damn right.
Are you still in it?
It's wide open. I mean, you just have to make the tournament.
Best defense in college football,
and Nico will be one of the best quarterbacks in this 26 class.
Thank you, Avery Johnson. Sir, yes.
Yep. There you go. All right, Binkley, we'll enjoy Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. Next week, I'll come see you guys in Lee Summit, I promise.
Hey, you're the prince of Lee Summit, man. You got to be out there.
No doubt about it. Jay Binkley, thanks, everybody. Guys. Mr. 69 himself. By the way, real quick, I did have the garage beer last night. Fantastic.
It's good.
Crushable. I had the lime one and the regular
smooth.
One.
Smooth.
I'm going to get a six-pack of both, I think, either tonight or for Sunday. Very good.
It's very good beer. And I'm not a huge beer drinker anymore, but I had that. I'm like, this is really good.
That garage is the perfect shower beer. That is the perfect 100 degrees in the middle of July. You just got done mowing the lawn. It's good for any time.
It really is a
very smooth beer.
I'm with you. I thought, this is really good.
Not mad about it. All right, I just had to get a beer topic in there real quick.
No problem, man.
Jay Binkley, Bob Fesco, Dusty Lagas, Mac Moore. We get back here. We talk about our tailgate food this weekend here for a 325 game against the Raiders on 96.5 The Fan. And your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. People tried to fix TV. Couldn't fix it.
He couldn't fix it, right? I'm making a face on the camera because, man, if you've been outside in the last 5 minutes, it smells worse than a grease trap. It smells like somebody just Ralphed all over the place.
Somebody says, I like the show Outlander. I don't really understand. I guess I'll have to check that out.
Random text?
Yep.
Oh, it's just the outside.
Do your clothes smell like it?
No. Still smells like Tide Pods.
Rusty spoons. Hello, Mr. Cubic Cumberdale. You smell like soot and poo. That sucks. It smells like that outside.
I mean, again, cow farted in Iowa. We smell it here. I don't know. I mean, like, if you drive by Deffenbaugh on 435 over there on in Shawnee, you get that waft of the trash dump. But the whole city smells like a trash dump today.
Maybe it's Dylan Raiola's play lately from up north in Nebraska.
Could be.
That's not really north.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Omaha's north.
Straight north, yeah.
Straight north. Some interesting story developing here. Jason Kelce is reportedly in talks to host a late night talk show on ESPN.
I saw that. What do you anticipate that being like? More
me
of
me recording it and watching it the next day.
Yeah, but I probably won't. But is it going to be like a late night show, or is it going to be a sports show?
Probably after Scott Van Pelt show.
Like, allow him to do like some sort of sports entertainment type show and you know, kind of have some fun with, like, is he going to do a monologue and tell jokes and that kind of stuff? I'd like to see that. I think that'd be good.
Another stat about tonight, World Series game one, obviously on Fox, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is why I hate the Yankees and the Dodgers. I know I shouldn't, but I should hate baseball, which I do. I don't. I love it.
I know. I feel like I'm an apologist for the game right now. But the perception is that baseball's dead and nobody can win and all that. And that's just not reality. No. Sometimes we let perception take over things that are true versus false.
This is from Buster Olney. From Elias Sports, there are 5 former MVPs on the World Series rosters of these teams. God. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, not Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani. If all 5 play in a game, which is expected, that would be the most former MVPs playing in one World Series.
Ever?
Nah, it says one World Series in Major League history. The previous high was 4, done 9 times, with the last being 1971 between the Orioles and the Pirates. Boog Powell, Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, and Roberto Clemente.
I bet you more people watched that World Series, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, and they probably played games during the day than will watch the Yankees-Dodgers.
It's crazy.
Do you think that's true?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Like, look it up, Mac. How many people, what year was that?
1971.
Look up how many people watched the 1971 World Series. I bet that number is going to be close to twice what this World Series is going to draw from a rating standpoint. And again, 3 channels versus, 300 channels now. You get lost in the stuff, but that's wild. 5 MVPs.
From the 913, was that a Salad Fingers reference, Dusty? It was. It was. That was my high school, like freshman year.
An estimated 63 million people watched game 4 of the 71 World Series, making the largest TV audience ever for primetime sports telecast at the time.
Nailed it.
63 million people watched game 4. What about, do they have a rolling average for the entire series? That's nuts. That's like, say 20 million people watched this World Series. That's 3 times more than what that's going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Damn.
I'm just typing in something here real quick with my double chin.
I mean, that's a lot of people watching baseball back in the 70s.
The 2024 Super Bowl, also known as Super Bowl 53, was the most watched Super Bowl in the history with an average of 123.4 million viewers.
Wow.
It's your talent.
Damn.
It's also, I think, now that it's like worldwide, right? I think people are watching it in every country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Shohei Ohtani's bringing, I mean, I saw the figure the other day again.
Mm-hmm.
$700 million in ancillary revenue to the city of Los Angeles because of Shohei Ohtani playing for the Dodgers.
That's right. That's what I mean.
Does any, like, Patrick Mahomes doesn't do that.
No. I mean, people move to go cover that guy, spend money. Right?
I mean, they're just talking hotels, food, like all this stuff that you spent $700 million. They directly equated to Shohei Ohtani being there.
He just made $4 million off a baseball he hit. Like, somebody paid $4.3 million for a baseball he hit for number 50.
I mean, we talk about Mahomes in this category.
Right.
Ohtani's just somewhere different, right?
And he's getting insider bets. I mean, he didn't understand that there was money coming out of his account.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Like, yeah. Shohei Ohtani is worth ever. Like,
people will go to see him,
right?
From other countries because of who he is. He's better than Babe Ruth ever was.
Yeah,
he's an anomaly of an athlete.
I mean, it's. Have you ever seen him play live in person?
I was going to, and then if you remember,
rained or something,
it
right?
Was frozen.
Snow. Yeah, that's what it was.
I was there. He was going to pitch.
Yeah,
and he was going to play his first game in Kansas City. And Mike Swanson announced over the intercom, "Today's game has been postponed due to temperatures and freezing."
That's
conditions.
Right. It was like in the 20s or something that day. I remember there was something where he was gonna like. I saw him in person hit. but I never saw him pitch.
Yeah, I went to his press conference, and I believe it was Passan that asked him, have you ever played baseball in, like, and he used Fahrenheit or whatever, or Celsius. And he was like, have you ever played baseball in, like, 27 degrees Celsius? He's like, no. And his interpreter was on a phone.
Probably making bets. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
You asked a really important question. What do you do for food on a 325 game?
I'm conflicted every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. You got two daughters and a wife, so I figured either they're running around or doing something before the game, maybe.
Well, they're in the room on TikTok or, you know, whatever the case may be, or my wife is, you know, doing whatever, putting away
is
clothes.
Is the cookie shop open on Sunday?
It is.
I know Crumbles closed, but that's for religious reasons.
12 to 8. They're open on Sunday.
12 to 8.
Twisted Sugar.
And they mix up their cookies every week?
Every day.
They got
a baker in there.
Wow.
My daughter brought me home the peanut butter Nutella cookie from Twisted Sugar last night. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, it's the best cookie you'll ever have.
You had to get that duct tape out, didn't you?
I'm going to tell you, I opened the box, like half of it's kind of like a word to go. She goes, yeah, I got hungry too. I'm like, that's fine. You know, I didn't need the whole cookie. It is just the best peanut butter cookie with Nutella. Oh, it's so good, right? So yeah, they're open on Sunday. Mm. So I don't know if she's working on Sunday or not, but like I'm conflicted as to when do you start the grill? When do you, and I don't want to hear, I get up at 4 a.m. and I smoke a pork butt. Like we're talking about just normal, you know, food here. When do you eat during a 325 game? But more importantly, when do you start preparing the food for a 325 game? Because halftime's only 12 minutes, so it's not like you can get a lot done during halftime. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to miss the red zone, and it's too early. And then by the time 325 comes along, I'm locked into the Chiefs, and I forget about, like, it's just a predicament. This is Mission Hill's problems we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I feel like, for me at least...
But I can't be the only one in this predicament.
No, I think for me, though, it's like, I don't know, eat like a late breakfast, like do like biscuits and gravy, eggs, bacon, mm-hmm, all that sort of stuff at like 11. Have a couple mimosas, and then you're good for the 12 o'clock red zone start. Then that's why you always have a backup plan, which is a frozen pizza in your freezer, and then throw that pizza in the oven.
Just throw it in there and do that.
Red Baron,
that's Jack's, how
I would attack it, or like you order a pizza.
Yeah, so that's what you would do. You wouldn't worry about cooking during the 325
game. No, I mean, it's going to be 72, so it's not going to be terrible temperatures to grill.
Nice Blackstone type of day.
I like to relax. Sunday's a day of rest, man. I like to relax. I know I got Monday coming up for the show. I mean, you could cook at halftime of the Chiefs game, too.
But you can't. It's 12 minutes.
Mm.
Unless you're on
guys' grocery games.
So this is what I did last week. I went and turned on the Blackstone at the two-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so it was nice and hot.
Nice and hot.
Good job.
Right? And before the games, like I kind of meal prepped and had kind of everything ready to go.
Everything's chopped up.
Right.
Everything's ready to go.
So in that 12 minutes that they were in halftime, I was able to get a lot of it done on the grill because it was already hot and ready to go. But the anxiety kicked in and I was like hyperventilating. I got to go get back to the game and all that kind of stuff. So.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moist, 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 moist. Did I hit that or did you hit that? I think I just hit the mouse with my hand.
You? Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, what are other people doing? How do you prepare?
Is 72 a good chilly day? Because by the time you eat after the game, it'll be about 69....
I think it's too warm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too warm for the chili.
Somebody says the game will be out of hand by the second quarter. I can cook anytime I want after that.
Fair point. But I'm talking about like a real game, not against like, you know, your mom's high school team. what do you do?
I like this one. It says 325 games are always good snack games for me. Crock pot dip, smoke some cream cheese with jalapenos, all that kind of stuff. Do football snacks, you know?
Yeah, football
sausage,
snacks.
Sausage, cheese, and crackers, you know.
Because my family's
dips.
One of these. Because what are we eating? Did you set anything out to get ready?
Oh, my gosh. All right. It is the end of the show. Go do something nice for somebody you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Happy Red Friday. It's Cody and Gold live from the Circa in Las Vegas. Coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.